Welcome in, everybody. Hope you just had a wonderful Halloween. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzee Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. I am upset for the people that flew into Philadelphia for the World Series game. I'm upset for the people that booked hotel reservations. I feel sick for the people that went down to the stadium. They probably had fun tailgating. We're probably checking the weather app every 10 seconds. We're probably checking the tweets. I was following a lot of the guys, Bob Nightingale being one of them, about whether or not this game was actually going to take place last night, Halloween night in South Philadelphia. And, of course, that was not the case. I was a little relieved, though. It was a crazy night. A little touch wanted to go out there trick-or-treating and get back to the World Series. She'd be in bed by that time anyway, but it's a whole process. It's exhausting, and I got to sit there with the notes and take all the notes. Can't just sit there and enjoy the game. Some people were like, let's get drunk. And I'm like, I can't really do that. But anyway, a little bit of a relief, and I felt like it was God's way of saying, all right, everyone, it's been just pandemonium in Philadelphia. Let's just take a breather for a second. And by the way, here's a nice little help to your Philadelphia Phillies, because I don't think it's really any question. I know oftentimes, always, it comes up, who does this help more? If there's a rain delay, if there's a postponement, whatever, who does it help more? Zero doubt it helps the Phillies. Zero doubt it helps the Phillies more than it helps the Houston Astros. Now, part of that is the fact that the Houston Astros are just a really good baseball team. The Houston Astros are a better baseball team than the Philadelphia Phillies. I knew that going into this series. However, the team of destiny, the hot team, the hot bats, whatever you want to call it, more so I thought favored the Phillies than it did the Astros. So you could just catch a better team at a better time for you than it might be for them. Their lineup, their rotation, it's stacked. It's not even changing with the rain delay. The Phillies get the opportunity to not have a bullpen game, at least not as early in the series as they were going to have it, like they were in game three. So here's what you're looking at right now, pulling this graphic off of ESPN. Tuesday night, that's tonight. Yes, it's November. Happy November, everybody. Houston and the Phils there. Suarez will get the start tonight, which is good. You get a starter on the mound. Always prefer that, rather than having the dreaded bullpen game. McCullers will still get the start there. Then Nola gets to start Wednesday. So you have him back already for game four in this series. He'll go against Christian Javier. Then Syndergaard will most likely get the start there in game five. There was some talk about possibly having Kyle Gibson make that start and his 9 ERA in the final month of the regular season, but it doesn't look like we'll see him in game five. Instead, we'll see Noah Syndergaard pitch that last game here in Philadelphia against Justin Verlander. That's a hell of a matchup. More on Verlander's day yesterday, by the way, in case you didn't see that. And then Zach Wheeler gets the 5 days rest in between starts, and he'll be back with you. Now, there was a big philosophy there about the velocity, his velocity not exactly being up to par, and maybe that was the reason why he got rocked as bad as he did in game two of this series. So now you have him on a little bit more rest, coming back to pitch game six of this World Series, which would be great and a welcome sight for Phillies fans everywhere. Aaron Nola needs to bounce back. We all know that, but it all starts with the game tonight with Ranger Suarez on the hill. I feel very confident in Ranger Suarez pitching this game, and I hate the idea. Like I remember Chase Utley Day in Philadelphia when Chase Utley came back from a long, then-known DL stint. And he came back. Everyone was all excited. They thought the Phillies were going to turn things around. And I remember Ruben Amaro Jr. announcing that the game was going to be a bullpen game. And I remember Chad Qualls got a big piece of that pie. And Chad Qualls ruined Chase Utley Day. And from that moment forth, whenever I heard the term bullpen game, and it has become a regular thing in the playoffs of all times in Major League Baseball, I hate the term bullpen game. I hate the term opener instead of a starter because they're just opening it for a couple of innings before you bring in the rest of the bullpen. I hate it. But if it means in game five I see Thor, if it means instead I see guys come in after him to take the ball, well, you'll definitely see Alvarado. You'll definitely see Sir Anthony Dominguez. You might even see Brad Hand. You'll see Brogdon, you'll see Connor Brogdon out there. You see Bilotti out there. I'd rather see that. And maybe one inning, or at most two. Zach Eflin's another name you'll see in there as well. I'd rather see that as opposed to hoping Kyle Gibson can give you four innings, five innings. I'd rather see that. Maybe it'll give me one. Maybe he'll give me one. But I want no parts of Kyle Gibson starting a playoff game in the hopes that he goes five or six innings. When realistically, it'll probably be four. But it was still, overall, it was disappointing because you get revved up throughout the entire day to get ready for a World Series game, and then it just doesn't happen. And I just think it's cruel the way they do this. Everyone comes down, they spend their money, and it's not just the World Series. It's everything. It's everything throughout the regular season where they'll bring you to the stadium, but maybe it'll pass. You're looking at the Doppler. You know it's not going to pass, but come spend your money. Anyway, so that's where we're at right now with the Phillies getting ready for game three of the World Series at CBP tonight with Ranger Suarez pitching in the game. There was some, I guess, without the teams actually playing, I guess people still needed a news story. And there was a little bit of a news story where Justin Verlander was at Citizens Bank Park and he was pulling in the Houston Astros team bus. Now, the Houston Astros team bus, unfortunately, had a shattered window. And it led to some speculation that a Phillies fan threw something at the bus to shatter the window. Now, we've thrown things at buses in this city. It's happened. But this is something you can't call on us. Somebody tried turning this into a anti-Philadelphia fan story about how we're classless and how we were yelling things at Justin Verlander, and Justin Verlander gave us the finger on two separate occasions that we may have broken a bus window. All of it was BS. And Justin Verlander himself. So if you see this story later today, I don't even want to give recognition to the person that put it out there. But if you just see this story, know that it's bull. Justin Verlander and fans were going back and forth. And Justin Verlander himself, I retweeted it if you want to see it. He put it out there and just said, hey, just want to make sure everyone's on the same page here. I enjoyed this. That's why I'm smiling in the video. I gave them the finger because they were saying crude things to me, but it was fun. They were having fun. I was having fun. They were enjoying it. I sure as hell was enjoying it. They were dishing it out. I was taking it and dishing it back, and they were taking it and dishing it right back at me. It was everybody was in cahoots. It was on good terms. It was all in good fun. And Justin Verlander even pointed out the window that was shattered. Guess what? It was like that. No Philadelphia fan threw any projectile at the bus and shattered a window. And the funny thing is, you see Justin Verlander walking out, giving the finger to the Phillies fans, and he's laughing. He's smiling. He's enjoying it. This is how every fan and every player should have that. This should be the relationship throughout. This is how every player should take our jeering, our ribbing, when we give it to them, basically. That's how they should take it. Ah, this is fun. They're really into it. I obviously am into it. I want to win. They want to win. This is fun. That's all it is. Not, do you believe what Philadelphia said to me? Philadelphia said I suck, and my family sucks, and my whole entire ancestral line sucks. Like, no. It's just, we're trying to get in your head. Know the game, on and off the field. Justin Verlander, good for him. I hope he loses in this series. But I appreciate him understanding the player-fan relationship, the away player, the visiting player to home fan base relationship. Is that how you say that? Being the visiting player, his relationship with that fan base that he's going to visit. There you go. So if you see that story today, just I want to put you ahead of it. I don't want to put you behind. I want to put you ahead of it. That it's all BS. Philly was funny. Justin Verlander was hilarious. We didn't break a window. End of story. But yeah, so you have an opportunity now with this series being pushed back a day to avoid that bullpen game earlier in the series, which is great. To have Aaron Nola pitch earlier in the series, which is also great, and then also bring Zach Wheeler in earlier in this series, which is phenomenal. Without question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this benefits the Phillies before it benefits the Houston Astros. And the Phillies, yes, of course, I still think, as the lesser team in this, maybe the hotter team, maybe the team is still going to win, still got to win it in five. Can still use all the help they can get. And it's a nice little blessing. It's a bounce. The ball bounces the way of the Phillies for the rainout, which is great. We got some Eagle stuff to get into. I want to make sure we touch on Nick Sirianni addressed the media yesterday. He was asked by my friend Ruben Frank, who I'll reference in twice in today's show, about why the team is 7-0 and nobody's talking about it. nobody is talking about. Now, this is on the Eagles. Nobody's coming out in their press conference talking about being 7-0. Everyone's being asked about it. And I pointed out yesterday that even though he came off this win against the Pittsburgh Steelers, your most convincing win of the season, the whole attitude was, yeah, but we left meat on the bone. I mentioned yesterday that you have a guy like A.J. Brown talking about how he should have had 4 touchdowns in the game. And you have a guy like Jalen Hurts saying, yeah, you know, we still haven't played our best game yet. Okay, well, this is the best game you've played so far, but still no celebrating, nor will we accept it. But here is Nick Sirianni on why nobody is talking about being 7-0 at this point in the season.
Because we know that the only thing that nothing matters, right? Dog mentality is that nothing matters of what happened before. You know, we're ready to go today to get ready to go 1-0 this week. And that's something that it's just a mindset that we have as an organization. You know, it's a, you know, it's so to answer your question. Yeah, it's because it's the greatest team sport there is. It's coaches, it's players. And we have great leaders on this football team that know what it takes to, you know, there's been a lot of guys here, you know, whether it's the guys that put their flag on the top of the mountain of the Super Bowl mountain, right, with of the NFL, or guys in college that know what it takes to get to the top of that mountain. And so, and what the great, the common denominator of great teams is they focus on one day at a time, and they don't think about the past. They don't think about the future. They think about where we are and how we're going to go 1-0 this day. And completely focus on that, and that's the only way you get better. And I think our guys are seeing that's how you get better. And the more you kind of have success with that formula, the more buy-in there is, more and more. And again, when you got the guys that we have on our team and the leaders that we have on our team, that's just how they go about business, and that's contagious as well.
Side note, I love Monday Nick Sirianni. Monday, day after press conference for Nick Sirianni, always reminds me of the kid that got way too drunk at the party, and you're at the diner the next day, and you're like, what happened last night? Oh, dude, I'll tell you what happened last night. I think I remember, but I'm not sure, but here's what I think happened. Like, he's got that kind of delivery and everything. He's just way too tired, way too out of it after coaching a football game the previous day. But as far as the mentality that goes into 7-0, they are unaware. I always say that this is the, throughout the season, really since week 4, I've been talking about how this is the hungriest blank and O team I've ever seen. Okay. Well, it's also, they seem to be totally unaware of the fact that they're 7-0. This is the first team that I've seen be great in a season. Perfect, to be better, more descriptive and more accurate. This is the first team I've seen be great or perfect and seem like they are totally unaware of it. And that's exactly what you want from your team. Nobody wants to hear a quote from Jalen Hurts talking about, yeah, I might be the most improved player ever in Philadelphia sports history from my first year as a starter to my second year as a starter. But, you know, want to stay humble. Like, no, no. Nobody wants to hear from Nick Sirianni, I'm pretty great at this coaching thing. Aren't I? Like, no, nobody wants to hear that. No one wants to hear from Jason Kelce, well, I've won a Super Bowl, and I think I'm going to do it again. So, okay, all right, cool. Even though if it came from Jason Kelce, it'd probably still be forgiven and amazed. We'd all be amazed by it. Nobody wants to hear the overconfidence. But it's a question that always comes up when you have a team playing very well, or in this case, next to perfect. Now, I'm going to say next to perfect. Perfect record. But we all know that there's been periods of time throughout these games where we go, I don't know if they have this one. Okay, good, they have it. Okay. I love the fact that this is their mentality and this is their mindset. But I really believe them when they don't acknowledge it. I really believe them when they talk more about the imperfections than the perfections of this season. Because along the line, even in this game against the Houston Texans coming up on Thursday night, it's a short week and all that. Even in this game, even in next week's game, and the week after that, depending on how long this goes, people are going to talk about a point where the Eagles get too confident. And this is an example of that. Short week, you're traveling on the road Thursday night to play a much lesser team in the Houston Texans. Are they overconfident? Will they overlook the Houston Texans? I'll tell you right now, the Giants, even though they lost, And the Cowboys, even though they just steamrolled this past weekend and Tony Pollard just went off in a game without Ezekiel Elliott, they're making it pretty easy for the Eagles to stay focused, especially the Cowboys. Because now you're looking at these teams, you're looking at the Cowboys just getting their starting quarterback back and Dak Prescott, who did I see? Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports and Jacob Media put it out there that 2 weeks ago was Dak Prescott's return. This was his real return in this latest matchup, where he really shows you what he can do as a quarterback. Now, Tony Pollard, of course, again, went off in that game, but it showed you all in all what that offense can do, and we all know what that defense can do, because that's been really nothing different. But the Giants and the Cowboys are keeping you honest, because you lose one game, that means you're only one game better than those two squads. That means you're only one game in first place. Right now, you're only two games in first place. That's it. For a season that you started 7-0, possibly, and I'm expecting 8-0. For a season like that, it's still pretty damn close. You're perfect. And it's still pretty close in terms of the division with a lot of time left in the season. A whole half of the season ready to go, ready to fire, more than half of the season. So there's a lot going on there, and it's not just a mindset and a mentality of the players, but also you just look at the division. And you look at where the Giants are, you look at where the Cowboys are, and the Cowboys are where they are without, what, Dak Prescott for five games? So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pay attention. And I'm going to go ahead and not get overconfident, because every single win matters. I know Nick Sirianni will say, and you just heard him say, that it doesn't, and you know, whatever happened before, it doesn't matter. Well, it kind of does, because it's gotten you still in first place. First place in the entire NFL. Now it's a matter of maintaining it. Not just to get to the top, but to stay there. Because once you're number one, everybody's coming for you. So that's what I'll take away from yesterday's press conference with Nick Sirianni. He did talk about Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis, high ankle sprain, expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, which sucks. But yesterday, Nick Sirianni would not give a timetable, never gives timetables when it comes to injured players. Jordan Davis, the report is that he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. This was interesting. He got asked about last year. Last year, if you remember, they played Thursday, and they beat the Carolina Panthers, and then they played Tampa, and they were home for that game, and they lost to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a game they kind of rallied late, but it just never felt like they were going to – this didn't feel like they were in it. But last year, Nick Sirianni had all the guys over for all the coaches over his house to prepare for the game. Did not do that this year. He didn't give a real specific reason as to why he chose not to do that this year. But one thing he did say was the bye week being so close to the Thursday game, they actually did prep and did study for the Houston Texans over the bye week. So they went ahead and looked past the Pittsburgh Steelers, still dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now are getting ready for the Houston Texans. I'll ask this question, just a favor, Nick Sirianni. Go ahead and blow out this Houston Texans team. Please and thank you. Blow out this Houston Texans team. I love the idea that they use the schedule to their advantage. You got to look everywhere for an advantage. Look into the schedule, see that you're going to have the bye week, and then an easy opponent, quote unquote, and then another easy opponent on a short week. That's smart. Hitting the books, looking ahead, you can get caught up in that. But if you're going to get caught up in it, it's going to come up against the Steelers. It's not going to come up against the Texans, because you've been prepping more than the average coach would in that scenario. So credit to Nick Sirianni and the coaching staff for actually doing that before they take on a Houston Texans team that's just a Houston Texans team that's just 1-5-1 to this point this season. Yes, they have a tie. That's exciting. That's what I got for you on the press conference from yesterday. One more thing when it comes to Nick Sirianni, he addressed the locker room, and this is the way he's approaching Thursday night football games. And I like this mindset. It reminds me of one of those things that if you can convince your team that this is true, it's true. Might not be factually accurate, but when it comes to your mental approach to a game, I think this is a good way to put it. Here's Nick Sirianni after the Eagles beat the Steelers on the short week.
All right, let's make sure our bodies are in the best shape they can be in for Thursday night. Remember, the weather's an advantage for the team that thinks it's an advantage. The Thursday night game's an advantage for the team that thinks it's an advantage. It's going to be an advantage for us. We got the right people in place. A lot to be thankful for. Let's pray.
If you believe it, then it's an advantage. If you think this is an advantage and you believe it's an advantage, then we have the advantage. If you think this is a detriment, if you think this is a real big hang-up, if you think this is a real disadvantage, then it's going to be a disadvantage. This is how the power mentally surrounds this football team and their approach to this game. No. It's an advantage to play on Thursday night. Well, why is it an advantage? We're on the road. It's an advantage. Oh, okay. I guess you sold me on that. Look, you have to look at it in a positive light. If I'm the Eagles, the way I really sell myself on the idea that a Thursday night game short week is an advantage is that I'm the better football team. They don't have as much time to prep for me as I have had for them. I just came off the bye. I just took it to a very inferior opponent like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, I'll go on the road and play the Texans. Please. That's how you have to look at it. They're the team that needed more time. The Houston Texans are the team that needed more time. I'm not the team that needed more time. So that's how they're going to look at it. And you know what? I don't hold it against them. I don't hold it against them even a little bit. Texans are coming off a shocking. That loss to the Titans. Close game, though. 17-point game before they host the Eagles here on Thursday night and prime. So Thursday night could be an interesting game. I want to give you that matchup one more time. Noah Syndergaard is going to pitch that game for the Phillies against the Houston Astros. He'll most likely be the starter for game five of that series. Game five of that series. Thursday night. All times 8:03. So nice kickoff and first pitch should be right around that same time. So that's very exciting. I didn't even mention the Sixers yet. But last night, Sixers were able to hold on to beat the Wizards 118-111. It got a little too close for comfort in that third quarter. And then the Sixers went on an 18-2 run. In case you haven't noticed, Tyrese Maxey's having himself a hell of a start to the season. Now, they haven't played with Joel. They've played without Joel Embiid for the last two nights due to a non-COVID-related illness. Tyrese Maxey is now averaging about 29 points over his last four games. Last night was no exception at 28 points in that game, 2-for-6 from beyond the arc, 12 of 22 from the floor. James Harden was the version of James Harden that I laid out for you before the season started. Get your assists, James Harden. Do all the things that make everybody else the priority, and just try to hit yourself some threes. He ended up hitting two threes in last night's game, 23 points, 17 assists. He also had 7 rebounds. George Niang got 12 points off the bench. D'Anthony Melton was in your starting five last night. He had 16 points, was 2-of-4 from beyond the arc, and 7-of-10 from the floor. Fine night for the guy coming off as your sixth man to get into your rotation there, your starting rotation, and make things happen for this offense. But Tyrese Maxey continues to just show amazing signs of improvement. Now, last year he was your starter because Ben Simmons wasn't here. This year he's your starter again because he's just that good. So yesterday I started this question about the improvement we're seeing in year two as starters for Tyrese Maxey in basketball, for your 76ers, and Jalen Hurts for your Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. I'm hard-pressed to find two guys that have had better second years as starters. And this is what they're starting out to be, so the potential is still out there. Everybody else, of course, is a closed case. Guys like McNabb, Utley, Westbrook, LeClaire was the name, John LeClaire, that was mentioned to me on social media yesterday. I put the question out there yesterday. I think, and I already took Mike Schmidt, and I mentioned him yesterday. And yesterday I introduced this topic. I told you I was going to do a little bit more work on it, and I have. But Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Hurts, I think, are having the best second year as starters that we've seen in Philadelphia maybe since Mike Schmidt. Now, here's the deal. McNabb and Ruben Frank said I was going to shout him out again. Nobody knows the numbers better than Ruben Frank. Nobody covers the Eagles like Ruben Frank, have to say. But McNabb started 6 games his rookie year. He played in 12 of those games his rookie year. His second year was his first year as a full-time regular starter. So if you remember, Jalen Hurts started 4 games at the end of the season that Carson Wentz was still here. 2019? Pandemic, man. I have no idea what dates are anymore. But nonetheless, Jalen Hurts came in, or 2020. Jalen Hurts came in and started those four games. He had played in games that season, wildcat situations or whatever you want to say. So I'm the caveat to this question, the big hook to the question is the second year as a starter. McNabb's first full year as a starter was phenomenal. And you guys know I'm not the hugest Donovan McNabb fan, but his second year, he was second in the MVP voting. He only lost the MVP award to Marshall Faulk, who had like 2,000 yards total offense, which is absolutely like ungodly that year. Had like 26 touchdowns or whatever the heck it was in total, receiving and rushing that year in the NFL in 2000. So McNabb's second year in the league was incredible, but that was actually his first year as a starter. His second year as a starter, the numbers were all around the same. He didn't finish tops in the MVP voting or the top two or top three, but he was still really damn good that year. It wasn't a huge leap forward. And one of my biggest knocks, still worthy, still amazing. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be on the level that Jalen Hurts is at right now or what we're seeing from Tyrese Maxey in terms of overall specific improvement, because that's one of the things I'm also focusing on. I'm looking at these things like watching the slant route that I saw Jalen Hurts throw a year ago, and I see this year it's a lot more on the money. This past week, the shorter throws, it was odd. They were a little bit not as accurate. The deep ball was phenomenally accurate. Donovan came into the league being able to throw a great deep ball. I think as his career went on, he threw the perfect deep ball. It wasn't just a TO, although that was great. He would do that later with DeSean Jackson. Hell, he was doing that with Todd Pinkston. And that's not as much of a compliment to Todd Pinkston as it is a compliment to Donovan McNabb. But Donovan, my biggest knock on Donovan McNabb was that he reminded me in a lot of ways. They reminded me of each other of Andre Iguodala. Like, they came into the league with this skill set. They came into Philadelphia with this skill set. And a lot of it was really good. But the other things, it just didn't improve upon. Donovan never got better at the touch pass. Donovan never got better at the short yardage throws, the worm burners, as he became known for. Still a great quarterback in this city. Still the most successful quarterback that we've had regular season, but won the most playoff games. Hasn't won the Super Bowl. I don't even need to say it. But he came into the league as a really good quarterback. Andy Reid developed him into a better quarterback. But a lot of those specific things, he got much better at the things he was already good at, and he never really improved upon the things that he was bad at. Like the touch throws, whatever you want to say, all those types of throws, the short throws as well. I just didn't see that. And you can even argue that he didn't get better because you saw him not use his legs as much to try to get you first downs and scramble. He didn't want to be known as the running quarterback, whatever. He wanted to be known as a guy that would get, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 different receivers involved in a game catching passes from him. And in Andy Reid's offense, his West Coast pass-happy offense, that was possible. And I give him credit for wanting to improve upon that. But if you're taking away your God-given ability as an athlete, I think that's something not only I, but other people hold against him. So Donovan, for me, great quarterback, came into the league great at a lot of things, left still bad at some of the things he didn't really improve upon while he was here in Philadelphia. But the second year in the league, MVP, second in the league in the MVP, but his second year as a starter, still along the same lines as far as his production. Westbrook was another name that was mentioned. And again, the caveat there, the hook there, is second year as a starter. Westbrook's third year in the league, he started 12 games. Injury. He had only 8 starts before that the previous year, and I believe only 6 starts in the year before that. So his third year was really his breakout year. That's where he went from 900 total yards to 1,500 total yards. So, yeah, that would be a vast improvement. That was the third year in the league, second year as a starter. Very good improvement. Still don't have it on the same level that I would have for Jalen Hurts right now or even Tyrese Maxey right now for the Sixers. Chase Utley. Chase Utley is a great name. Wildly ambiguous as to when his second year as a starter was. This is something that whenever I think about Chase Utley in the early goings of his career as a Philly and people saying they wait too long to bring up prospects, Chase Utley was not a regular star. Chase Utley, a Hall of Fame talent. Probably won't get to the Hall of Fame, but Hall of Fame talent. Chase Utley was not a regular starter for the Phillies. Not when he was 24. Man, not when he was 23. Not when he was 25. But when he was 26 years old. He was elderly. When he was playing second, he's gonna walk around. Is it time to take my pill? He was basically a geriatric going out there playing second base. Like, what the hell, man? That's not on the Phillies, per se. Or excuse me, that's not on Chase Utley, per se. That's on the Phillies. Now, here's one thing that Ed Wade never gets credit for. People have given Ed Wade at this point credit for Cole Hamels and Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins, and that's all great. It's great. It's wonderful. It's awesome. But one thing he never gets credit for is that he traded Placido Polanco so that Charlie Manuel could not start Polanco at second base and had to start Chase Utley. Chase Utley at 25 started 97 games for the Phils. Polanco was still here. The following year, Chase finally played 127 games, and that was the year, 26, that I believe he was finally traded, Placido Polanco was finally traded. Literally had to trade a guy to say, Charlie, please! And I love Charlie, but this is just one of those things about giving, you know, play the and Polanco was good. It's not like he was a terrible baseball player and he was, you know, getting favored over Utley. It was just, you're trying to win. So then Utley goes out there, finally becomes a starter, and then goes from hitting 266 to 291 to 309. That's a hell of a jump. On base percentage, also climbing. Home run numbers, as you would assume, climbing as well as he gets to play in more games. So Utley, it's a little ambiguous as to when you could say his first full year as a starter was and his second full year as a starter when that was. But bottom line is he just kept improving for the first, you know, five years of his career. So Utley, close. I'll definitely say that. Westbrook, definitely close. And then this was a name that I absolutely loved seeing, but it's not his second year in the league or his second year as a starter even, because his second year as a quote-unquote starter in the NHL, which is difficult to really tell. You got to look at minutes. John LeClair played his first four seasons in the league for the Montreal Canadiens, for the Habitants. His second year with the Flyers, though, after he was traded to the Flyers, was his first 50-goal season. But here's what's interesting. His first year, he played 37 games with the Flyers. He scored 25 goals in those 37 games. Came back the following year, his second year in Philly, 82 games. He played 82 games in the 95-96 season. John LeClair scored 51 goals. That's a nice second year in Philly. But you can't say really that it's his second year as a starter. So that's the hook. Second year as a starter. Then the guy that I really used as the bar, the benchmark, was Michael Jack Schmidt. And his second year as a starter in Philadelphia was just wow. Absolutely wow. Any other names that jump out to you, please, you know, shoot my way. All these are great names. All these guys are second, you know, great years. You could consider the second year in Philadelphia or second year as a starter. But I think that the taco as of right now is on pace to go to Jalen Hurts and it's on pace to go to Tyrese Maxey. Because Tyrese Maxey's ability to shoot from beyond the arc last night, one of his threes was from the logo. His back foot was on the logo when he drained it in the fourth quarter, I believe is when that one came. And he just looks like he is a totally different player. Now, I had said, it's going to be difficult for Tyrese Maxey to take another huge step forward because I don't even think he took a step forward. I don't even think he took a leap forward from his rookie year to his second year in the league last year. But going from last year to this year would be a lot difficult to show the same amount of improvement because from going from a bench player to a starter with the absence of Ben Simmons, what we saw as far as an improvement wasn't a jump. It wasn't a leap. It was getting on a transatlantic flight and taking that forward to how much to show the significant improvement that he had from his year one as a bench player to year two, which was his first as a starter last year. That I didn't think he would have that much of a ceiling to go up on any higher. And he's breaking through that ceiling and he's going up to another floor this year, which I didn't think he could do. But man, you're talking about 28, 29 points he's averaging over the last four games in the early goings of a season. You're talking about only a season that's eight games old. I know they haven't been playing with the big man, with Joel Embiid, over the last two games. But, man, if Tyrese Maxey can keep this going, oh, you're going to be looking at an all-star. James Harden, you're going to be looking at an all-star. Joel Embiid, you're going to be looking at an all-star. You're going to look at three all-stars just coming from the Philadelphia 76ers. Especially if Harden is keeping up his assist game. I'm not expecting 17 a night from James Harden, but I think 13 to 15 is realistic When you think about guys like Maxey and Embiid scoring for him, Tobias Harris got on the action a little bit last night, too. 16 points for him. He knocked out a 3, 6, and 10 from beyond the arc. So you got guys in this starting rotation that'll definitely fuel a guy like James Harden, his assistability. But this is going to be a very dangerous team if Tyrese Maxey all of a sudden is taking that major step forward. That a lot of people, they weren't like me. A lot of people did not doubt that he could take another major leap forward. I thought he would improve. I thought that his offseason workouts were legit, similar to Jalen Hurts. That his offseason workouts were legit, that he was going to come back a better player. But the ability to shoot from the outside is making him a much better player. And the knowledge of when to take it to the rim. When somebody's coming out to guard you, how to get right past him. I mean, look, he's got that blow-by speed. He's got that blow-away speed, no doubt about that. But, man, he has taken to this point a major step forward this year. I didn't think he'd take that much of a step forward, but boy, oh boy, has he. Now, Jalen Hurts, for me, I've mentioned it many times as to why I think he's improved so much. It just basically comes down to what I didn't see him do well last year, I have seen him do very well this year. And one of the first things that comes to mind there, Nick Sirianni is quick to point this out whenever he's asked about Jalen Hurts, it's all about how Jalen Hurts does his pre-snap reads. I know that he got a little bubble screen happy against the Arizona Cardinals, but I rather that than try to force a play that might have been called. I rather my quarterback be comfortable and first off check out of something that he's not comfortable running because of what he's seeing, and at least making a play that's not going to turn the football over. Because the biggest unsung hero of this season is the Eagles' lack of turnovers. You get turnovers, you get takeaways. Oh, we'll be talking about how great your defense is. When you don't turn the football over, it becomes an understatement because you're not supposed to fumble the football. You're not supposed to throw interceptions. But when you do, but on defense, you're supposed to take away the football. You're supposed to get interceptions. You're supposed to hit hard and force fumbles and punch the ball out. The Peanut Tillman punch. You're supposed to. On offense, you're not. So what do you do? When it doesn't happen, you don't talk about it. But two turnovers? There's going to be a game. It's just how the sports gods work, I guess. There's got to be a game where you just can't do anything right. Where the other team scores first, you go to get back into it, and next thing you know, you're looking like you're looking like the Cincinnati Bengals last night who could do nothing right in that game. Could not protect the quarterback even a little bit. You could do nothing right. You looked great the previous week. Joe Burrow throwing for 1 million yards and touchdowns left and right. And then you come out this game, Monday Night Football against the Browns on the road. And he gets sacked, I think the record was 1 billion times. I think he was sacked 1 billion times last night. You're going to have games where you just don't do anything right. The Eagles have had stretches in games where they couldn't do anything right. Excuse me. Or couldn't keep that momentum that they had built in the early goings of the game. Or keep the momentum in the second half that they built in the second quarter. They found a way to come out on top still, which is all you can really ask. You're going to go through ebbs and flows throughout a season, ebbs and throws throughout games. The Eagles have been able to get those ebbs and flows corrected throughout the season in game, which has been very impressive. There is one game that no one's going to see them lose, and they're going to lose, and that's going to suck. But the magic part about this team is not turning the football over, and the other part of that is just their mindset going into each and every game. That every week is its own individual season. Maybe this week it's a little bit different. Maybe this week is a little bit different. Simply because you have a team coming in, or you're going to visit a team that is bad, first and foremost, and you just played a game Sunday afternoon. So it's a little bit of a quick turnaround for the Eagles, so to speak. But maybe that'll make them look past. Maybe that will have them look forward to having another week off, essentially. A mini bye, if you will. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right here in Philadelphia. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to real jewelry experts, get the perfect price each and every day online at IHateStevenSinger.com with the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer is standing by at the ready, looking to give you the perfect price. Now, what's the perfect price? I'll tell you the perfect price. The perfect price is when you can walk in there, get treated like a real family member at Steven Singer Jewelers, and not feel like you have to pay more than the person next to you. The person next to you is paying the same money that you're paying because they, too, are getting the perfect price. It's not some wild deal or coupon or promo code or sale or anything like that. Hey, when's the sale? Did I miss the sale? The sale was yesterday? Ah, Never happens to Stevenson because the sale's every day with the perfect price. Other jewelers like to mark things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks. Just to make you feel like you want something. Oh, you're a great negotiator. Yeah, I don't know. At Stevenson, that goes out the window. You just sit down, relax, concentrate on what beautiful, dazzling diamond you want to buy at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. One place, one price, the perfect price each and every day online at ihatestevensinger.com. Let me tell you about the great people of Manscaped. Manscaped.com. 20% off at manscaped.com and use promo code Farzy. That's promo code Farzy for 20% off at manscaped.com. They have skin-safe technology with their ear and nose hair trimmer, their weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, as well as their incredible lawnmower 4.0 that comes with the Platinum Package 4.0 from Manscaped. Join 4 million men worldwide who use Manscaped and their skin-safe technology that helps you manscape with confidence and comfort. Go to manscaped.com, promo code Farzy for 20% off and free shipping. How about Freestone Farm CBD? FreestoneFarmCBD.com. That's FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You like CBD? Do you use CBD? You want to try a different CBD. Do you want to be someone who takes a more natural approach to everything that they put in their body? Do you want to wind down a little easier after a workout or maybe at the end of a stressful day, help lull you to sleep at night? Freestone Farm CBD is the way to go at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off. You'll love their strain menu, their Bayox. Blah. Chef's kiss. Clocking in at 24.1%. Chart topping. 24.1%. And their super CBD, which is half Hindu, Kush, is 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts, and they grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State. And after a harvest, they carefully preserve all their compounds with a perfect 3-month cure, like a nice soprasata. So, ladies and gentlemen, try Freestone Farm CBD. Use Freestone Farm CBD. 20% off at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Knew what I do when it comes to all your amazing CBD needs. Freestone Farms CBD is the way to go. How about PHL Sports Station, Philadelphia Sports Station, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's PHLSportsNation.com. Have I told you about Mojo and the incredible Mojo app? Download the Mojo app to your phone right now, available in New Jersey on iOS. You can download it to your phone right now and have yourself a great time on the Mojo app. Must be in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Mojo has players as stocks. Buy low, sell high. Each player has a share price attached to them. AJ Brown up 7.74%. Pre-game, $18.04. Post-game, $19.44. Jalen Hurts, let's keep it going. Pre-game, $51.12. Post-game, $52.54. Boston Scott's even up in this. Dallas Goedert went down just a little bit. He went down a penny. He went down a penny. All right. Miles Sanders down just 3 cents yesterday. Just down 3 cents for Sunday's game. Devontae Smith took a little bit of a hit right there. Looking around the league, some risers and fallers you might want to jump on right now. PJ Walker, Temple, my man Pots and Pans. What's up, North Broad Street? PJ Walker pregame $2.52, postgame $3.43. You see how it works, people. Download the Mojo app to your phone right now. Take advantage of the people that you could buy low with and sell high later. Make yourself some money. Available on iOS in New Jersey. Must be in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older. Oh, one more name to mention. Not Carson Wentz. Taylor Heinicke. Up 9.33%. Pregame $11.19. Postgame $12.23. Not too bad for the Commanders signal caller. Let's move into the chat check and see how you beautiful people are doing on this fine day. Professor Dutch, good morning. April, good morning. Kevin, good morning. Sean, good morning. Professor Dutch, Farzy, you should reach out to James and or Jack of the High Hopes. Oh, James and Jack! That Jack Fritz owes me $36. When he was an intern at WIP, he would do parking. And I was producing, I used to do a segment called The Hot Seat. And I was in one of the studios, and he didn't come by to get my parking. I got a ticket. I kid. I love Jack. James is awesome, too. Love those guys. Hopefully. Oh, and James. So happy to see James and John Ritchie and the Hammer, Joe DeCamera, moving into the morning show spot. Couldn't be happier for those guys. Awesome dudes, all of them. Hopefully Carson will be back for the Eagles game. Sean, cross our fingers for that. April, what's happening? Mihai, what's up, Mihai? Mally, morning, people. Good morning, Mally. Sean, listen, Todd Pinkston, bad memories. I'll tell you this about Todd Pinkston. The year before the Eagles got T.O. was the year it was cemented that the Eagles needed T.O. Because they were running, for the first time in the Andy Reid offense, they were running like fly routes. They were running like go routes. And in the West Coast offense, strict West Coast offense, Andy Reid was trying to do, which I hated at first because you had this strong arm, big armed quarterback like Donovan McNabb, and you were like, let's settle down, and you just have to be accurate on short throws. What? Why? That's stupid. Why would I do that? His greatest talent is a strong arm? Being able to throw it 90 yards down the field, and you want him to throw, you know, 5-yard ins? No thanks. Anyway. But they started using those fly routes with Donovan McNabb. He was bombing it down the field. And the first guy who was bombing those down the field to is Todd Pinkston. And then I guess it was watching that that made me go, or made the Eagles go, man, you know what? If we had somebody that was, no, stay with me here. If we had somebody that was better than Todd Pinkston doing that, would we be a better football team? Nah, that's too easy. Nah, why would we do that? We're not gonna get a number one wide receiver. That's just bonkers. But maybe it's not. Maybe we do go out there. We get like a Terrell Owens out here. They seem to be really hitting it off at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. Maybe we'll bring in that T.O. guy. What could go wrong? Well, nothing until year two. Year two might be. I've been talking about year two as a starter for these guys. Year two as a starter in Philadelphia for a T.O. I don't know if it's gone worse for anyone. Oh, that's another. Somebody mentioned Carson Wentz. Year two as a starter for Carson Wentz. He was the MVP of the league until he was hurt. That's a pretty damn good year. But I hereby banish any positive vibes towards Carson Wentz. Anyway, that's what I got for you. RJ, what's up, RJ? Professor Dutch, 6 innings, and our lineup hits 3 home runs. I'll take it. Ranger Suarez, Ranger Danger will dominate Astros lineup for 6, and our guys will hit their starting pitcher. I like it. I like it a lot. Leap was crazy. It was just bonkers. Sean Gillespie, Freddie Mitchell, James Thrash, losing to the Panthers. More bad memories. Thanks, Farzi. Panthers. That was the Jake Delhomme year. Wow. Panthers, Bucks, Rams. They beat the Falcons, obviously. Made it to the Super Bowl. That was fun. Remember that? And the Cardinals. By the way, I still think, Kevin Curtis. I still say Kevin Curtis was pass interfered with in that last pass by McNabb. And his legs tackled. Couldn't make the throw. No call on the play. No call. No flags. Jim Grassmeter, what's up, Jim? How are you, my friend? Nice to see you. One thing left for Howie to acquire is a punt returner. April, I had blocked Freddie Mitchell from my brain. Freddie's a funny dude, man. Freddie's a funny guy. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. Hope you guys are able to enjoy the festivities of today's game 3 of the World Series in Philadelphia. I'll say this about Freddie Mitchell. Freddie Mitchell caught the football. Freddie caught the football. A lot of other guys, they didn't catch the football. Freddie Mitchell caught the football. And I want to thank my hands for being so great is one of the best post-game utterances in the history of post-game utterances. That one lives on in infamy. But yeah, Freddie caught the football. I like Freddie on the field. Freddie's between Freddie's ears cost him a lot, and he's aware of that. But yeah, that was a nice little run there for Freddie Mitchell here in Philadelphia until Andy Reid just couldn't stand him anymore. And then that ruined first round wide receivers until DeSean Jackson, pretty much for the Eagles on that. Thanks for everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. RJ, just real quick, hit me up. Which leap was crazy? Which one are you referring to right there? Just hit me up later in the chat there. Let's move into the morning rush. Sponsored by Sky Motor Cars, skymotorcars.com. Once again, Lance McCullers Jr. scheduled to be the starter tonight for the Houston Astros. He is 4-2 in the regular season with a 2.27 ERA. I did highlight for you yesterday his last start. He allowed 4 runs, 3 of them earned on 5 innings of work. In 5 innings of work on 8 hits against the Yankees. It was a game that the Yankees were able to lose. and it was on the road. It was a start on the road for McCullers. Pitched better at home for the Astros, but got roughed up a little bit there by the Yankees, allowing those 8 hits, allowing 1 walk as well, and a 6-5 Houston Astros victory. And then tonight, Ranger Suarez on the bump for the Philadelphia Phillies. Our World Series hopes and dreams, and going up 2-1, are on the shoulders of a one Ranger Suarez. He's pitched out of the bullpen. He's started. He's done it all for you. Really looking forward to this game tonight, as I know most people are as well. That's the show today, folks. Appreciate you. If you can think of any other starters in their second year that dominated and, you know, really took a big leap forward, please send my way. I'm racking my brain to find some more before the season's out. Because, well, like I said, we have a complete grade for everybody else. We got a complete grade for LeClaire, Westbrook, Utley, McNabb, Wentz, womp, womp. Still undecided until the season's over for Maxi and Jalen Hurts. But so far what I've been seeing, especially on the Jalen Hurts side, because we have such more of a sample size in terms of percentage of the season, that Jalen Hurts, I think, is obviously leading the pack right there. But yeah, hit me up if you guys think of any other second-year starters in Philadelphia sports history that you think would surpass what Maxi and Jalen Hurts could do this season. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I still got a 4-2 Phillies victory today. I just think no matter what, the Astros are going to get a couple of runs on you. 4-2, Phillies win this game today. They go up 2-1 in the series. That's my prediction for today's game. Thanks for watching, everybody. Jim Heine, produced the program, did a wonderful job as per usual. This is the Farzy Show. It's a Buzz Sports and Entertainment production. Have a great rest of your day. Let's go, Phils.